A.R. Siders joined the University of Delaware as an assistant professor in the Disaster Research Center this summer. She studies policies that help communities adapt to the impacts of climate change and has recently published a paper in the journal Science on strategic managed climate retreat. Dr. Siders, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
So first of all, what is managed retreat?
Managed retreat is a strategy to purposefully move people and assets out of harm's way, to help people move away from risk.
So in this case, we're talking about risks posed by climate change. What do these generally look like?
So climate change poses a lot of risks to communities in a variety of ways. I tend to focus on coastal areas, on flooding and flood-related disasters. But managed retreat is a strategy that applies to floods, to hurricanes, to wildfire. People are talking about it now with drought and coastal erosion. So it can really address a number of the effects of climate change.
Is this strategy of managed retreat already in play in communities in the U.S., or is this something that we're looking at decades into the future?
So this is something that the U.S. has actually been doing for quite a while. We have examples from, well, if we go far enough back, we have examples from the 1850s of communities. There's a great community in Cape Cod that actually floated its homes across the bay when they realized their homes are flooding too much, and they set up a new home in Provincetown. More recently, though, FEMA set up a program starting in the 1980s to help purchase at-risk homes, especially in the floodplain. People would move away from those homes, the homes would be demolished, and the land returned to open public space. So at least since 1989, we've had a federally funded national program. It's purchased homes in around 1,100 counties across 49 states and some of the territories. So it's a really widespread program, even though it's been implemented at small scale so far. And we expect to see that scale up in the future in response to climate change.
So in this paper you recently published, you and your co-authors draw a distinction between strategic managed retreat and what you call ad hoc retreat. So what does the latter look like and how are those things different?
Yeah, so ad hoc retreat is when people just move. They have no support, they have no government assistance, there's no program in place to help them through this. We see this particularly after big disasters. A lot of people just leave. They don't want to be exposed anymore. They don't want to live through another flood. After Katrina, a decade after Katrina, New Orleans still had 20,000 abandoned properties throughout the city. People had just left. That's ad hoc retreat. When people leave, when they just abandon their homes and disappear, it's bad for the local government. They have to deal with these abandoned properties. How do you prevent them from becoming trash dumps? How do you keep the grass mowed? What do you do with a house that's falling down? It can also be bad for the neighbors who are left. If you're the neighbor living next door to a house that's falling apart and derelict because someone abandoned it, that's not good for you. It's not good for your health. It's not good for your property values. So it's also better there to have a management. And it's better for the land itself. What should we do with the land? Instead of having these houses rotting on land, could we create public parks? Could we put in gardens? Could we create flood barriers that would help absorb floodwater in the next storm? And then there's a humanitarian reason, which is that the people who experience the most damage from climate change, the most damage after disasters, who have the hardest time recovering, are usually the people with the fewest resources. And so they either leave and lose everything, or there's a government program to help them, and it can help them improve and actually be better off after the move. At least that's the hope.
Are there pitfalls that you've explored in your research, like things that could go wrong within strategic managed retreat? I'm thinking if I'm a beachfront property owner or somebody who's lived all my life next to the ocean and I hear this term managed retreat, I don't want to be forced necessarily to leave my home. So what are some of these concerns that should be looked at cautiously as we move into potentially using the strategy more?
Absolutely. So I would argue that all of the pitfalls that come from managed retreat come from it being poorly managed. So the strategy can still have great benefits, but if we do it wrong, there are real pitfalls. In the U.S., no one has been forced to move their home because of these floods and climate change. All of the programs are voluntary, so the government might offer to buy your home, but you always have the final say on whether or not you accept that. Internationally, however, people being forced to leave their homes, stories talk about people being forced to leave their homes at gunpoint. That's a huge humanitarian concern. In the U.S., concerns come up more about where these offers are being made, whether or not it's fair. We don't have a lot of great evidence about the buyout programs and how effective they've been to date. So there's big questions about after people have their homes bought by the government, where do they go? Well, there's a question of when people move after a buyout, do they lose their community? Do they lose all their community support? Do they lose access to health care? Do they have mental health problems? And that's something we call for in the papers. We need more holistic research into how people are doing after these things. And then there's just the concern that these might be unfair. Is buyout money from the government going more to help rich white neighborhoods relocate away from these risks and leaving low-income and minority neighborhoods in risky spaces? Or is this money targeting low-income minority neighborhoods, and is it really just a way to have some areas that are, say, more racist or classist get rid of people that they don't want in their neighborhood? So there's concern that this program could be used, could have bad outcomes either way it goes. And so moving forward, have to be very cautious that it helps the people who need the help the most.
So speaking a little bit more locally, does Managed Retreat seem like it's going to be a good idea for parts of Delaware in the future or now?
So this is a risky question to answer because I'm new to the state. So yes, in my opinion, I think Delaware needs to pursue a long-term strategy of Managed Retreat away from the coast. Currently, the state is, to my knowledge, the state is not pursuing Managed Retreat as a strategy. The state is pursuing beach nourishment as the primary. And this means that the state finds sand and it dumps it on the beach to try to keep up with the pace of erosion. But Delaware's sinking, sea levels are rising, storms are becoming more frequent and more intense. We're getting heavier rainfall in the future. That'll mean more flooding even when there's not a major storm. And so many of these places where development is occurring are at risk. And it's something to think about that every time a home is built in the floodplain, another family is put at risk. And not just losing money or losing their home, but their lives are put at risk. And is that really the policy that we want to continue pursuing for the foreseeable future? I'm not suggesting that Delaware needs to retreat today or even this decade. Things like beach nourishment, what they do very well is they buy time. They buy us time to develop Managed Retreat as a strategy and to work out the kinks.
Okay, so what are those first steps?
Yeah, so I was at a great conference where Rob Young from Western Carolina University pointed out that the first step in retreating is to stop advancing. So stop building a 100-year floodplain, potentially stop building in a 500-year floodplain, because we know that those flood risks are only going to get worse. A second step is going to be having some serious conversations with coastal communities, because they need to have a say and a voice in this. And one of the questions they need to be thinking about is, what do they want their communities to look like in 50 years, in 70 years? Do they want their community to be a giant seawall? Do they want their community to be a beach that is constantly renourished? And are they willing to pay for that? Because at some point, the federal tax dollars may run out for paying for that kind of solution. So are they willing to pay for it through their tax dollars? Or do they want to think about an alternative solution in which they say, you know what, maybe our community could be great moved 3 miles back from the coast. We'd all still have access to the coast. We'd all still have all the recreation and the tourism, but we wouldn't actually live in the risky area. And it won't be the right answer for every community in Delaware, but it will probably be the right answer for some of them.
Is there a formula you have for what makes a community a better or worse candidate for this strategy?
Community willingness is a huge part of it. How engaged the community is. I'll also say how creative the community is a huge component of this. The places that seem to do retreat the best are the ones who can see it as an opportunity. And my favorite example here is Soldiers Grove, Wisconsin. They moved back in the 70s. Their river kept flooding their downtown. It contaminated the well. It was causing all kinds of problems. Their population was shrinking. Their economy was dying. So they decided to relocate. They'd been flooded one too many times. They relocated, and they relocated their business district next to the highway so they could get more more people coming through, more traffic, and they'd have better connections for their businesses. They redid the well so that there wouldn't be any contamination from the floodwaters. And then they actually put in a rule that the new business district was going to be solar powered. In the 1970s in Wisconsin, this town had already figured out that relocating away from the river wasn't just about getting away from the floodwaters, it was an opportunity. Every community has some of these things where, you know, that building's really in the wrong place, or not even thinking about sea level rise, right? Just this road doesn't make any sense. And if we could start over, wouldn't we do this in a different way? Well, Managed Retreat kind of gives you the chance to think about it from a blank slate, to start over and seek some opportunity, not just to move away from the floods, but to do other better things. And that's why we're arguing for strategic retreat. Retreat isn't the end goal. The goal is not to just relocate. The goal is to build a thriving community that will continue to thrive for the next century, something you can hand down to your grandkids. Retreat is just one way to get there.
A.R. Siders is an assistant professor at the UD Center for Disaster Research.